His mercy endures forever and ever and ever. Amen. The children can be dismissed to head back and you know, be nice to the teachers. And hallelujah, the youth. Isn't God good? I said, He is good. He's good. He's good. He's good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's something about the name of Jesus that even demons get upset when you start speaking it right. People get offended. I mean, even in our situation in our world today, it's like you can go talk about this person, that, but mention Jesus, we got a problem, right? We got a big problem. Why? And that's because the name of Jesus is the dividing line. I said the name of Jesus is the dividing line. He said, I'm the way, the truth, the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. I can't dismiss that. I won't apologize for that. That's the truth, right? That's the truth. I mean, there are some great men in history and great things probably happened through their lives, but it's the name of Jesus is the only way to get to heaven. Why? Because He's the only one that paid the price for your sins that could make you holy. But He did. I love the verse, you know, be ye holy because He's holy. Yeah. Now you can get that, oh man, my holiness doesn't match up to His holiness, so oh God, what am I going to do? I'm in so much trouble. Here's the reality. His holiness became my holiness. Be ye holy because He's holy and you're in Him. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. And I like both sense of the word holy. Holy means to be separate, set apart, and you know, pure and all of that. But whole, I love this, when Jesus healed certain people, He said, and they went away whole. I love that word, whole. What does that mean? Their bodies didn't just get healed. Their sickness didn't leave. I believe their depression left. I believe their self-worth was elevated to the place where it's supposed to be. I just believe they figured out that God's all right with me and I'm all right with Him. It's just so cool. Hallelujah. 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 God is so good, so good, so good. I'm going to speak to my daughter when we get home because she's started to infringe on a sermon series that I plan on doing on stewardship, but it was so good. So awesome how God does that. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes being led by the Spirit, you know, you think you got to have goosebumps and all of that, but sometimes it's as simple as God speaking to me a message to give, and then God will speak to Lila to songs that go with that message, and then on top of that, God will give. It's just amazing how that all works out. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God working in us should not be a thing that is infrequent in our lives. It's something that should be happening all the time in our life. And I will tell you that it actually is, but oftentimes we don't recognize it. Are you listening to me? The Holy Spirit is in you. We talked about that. We talked about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We talked about that God wants to use all of us together. We're going to talk about a little bit more about that today. And then we talked about that all the motivation for everything is love. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you. Lord, you said that the entrance of your word brings light or illumination. And I believe, Lord, that we have a spirit of wisdom and revelation into the knowledge of you this morning. I thank you, Lord, for speaking to our hearts. And everybody who has an ear to hear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying this morning. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Verse 1 says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Hallelujah. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks to edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. He who speaks in tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. Hallelujah. I want to read that out of the NLT. Hallelujah. Listen to this. Let love be your highest goal. But also, you should desire the special abilities that God gives, especially the ability to prophesy. For if you have the ability to speak in tongues, you'll be talking only to God, since people won't be able to understand you. You will be speaking by the power of the Spirit, but it will be with mysterious. Watch this. But one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them. But a person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally, but one who speaks the word of prophecy strengthens the entire church. It's so powerful. It's so powerful. There are folks that say that, you know, the gifts of the Spirit, they were for back then, but we don't need them now. And I just say, you know, if I need strengthening, if I need edifying, if I need built up, I still need the gifts of the Holy Spirit, right? Now, here's the awesome part about everything that God gives us. It's all by His grace. You know, there are many definitions of grace. One is God's riches at Christ's expense, right? But I just look at it this way. God's grace is God giving us gifts because He wants to. Period. God gives me things because He wants to. But everything I do for Him in life is because He's given me gifts to do it. Here's where we come in. We have to believe it. I have to believe that God's grace is to me and that He's gifted me to do something. But not just something. Everything. Everything I do, I have the potential, watch this, for the power of God to be involved with what I'm doing. Whether I'm preaching, whether I'm singing, whether I'm helping somebody move, whether I'm building something, right? Whether I'm working, I have the Spirit of God in me 24/7. Right? So this says to pursue love, and that means that you have to go after it, right? But then it says to desire spiritual gifts. What does that mean? It means I must always be searching on how God can use me in this instant to bless somebody else. Every moment. Every moment is an opportunity. I know a particular fellow, and you know, evangelism was just his gifting. But it didn't matter who called him, who he saw, he would always turn it into a conversation about what church do you go to? Are you saved? You know, and even telemarketers, it's like, right. I've heard you talk for 5 minutes, now give me two. But here's the deal. Having an expectation that God's grace through His gifts will be imparted to you in that very second. so that you can be a blessing to Him. Right? Again, go up to verse 1 again. Verse 1. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. We've talked about this before, but we're going to reiterate it today. That prophecy, really, it's not everybody be able to predict the future. Right? It's not, okay, if I prophesy, then I must be a prophet. So thus saith the Lord, you know, I mean, prophecy means to have divine utterance and speak it forth. Right? Now again, it doesn't always have to be, thus saith the Lord. Right? You don't go to work and you're, you know, talking to your coworker and say, thus saith the Lord, repent. Unless God really put that on your heart to do it. But a lot of times prophecy starts with, you know, I feel impressed by the Spirit of God to say this. And it may not have emotion with it, it may not even make sense to you, but you say it and then God is in it. Right? So you can prophesy to one another. You can prophesy to your children, but you don't have to be, I'm going to use this term cautiously, but you don't have to be religious about doing it. Right? You know, especially those who maybe have wandered from the faith. You don't have to go, Jesus says, you know, or the Bible says. You know what you do when you do that? You click the switch off. They're no longer hearing. But you could say the very same thing by saying, you know, honey, I just feel impressed. And if they've been around you at all, they'll know where the impression comes from. And then you can use that impression for God to use you in the gifts of the Spirit. Word of knowledge. Come on. Discerning of spirits. All of those things are wrapped up in God giving you divine inspiration to say something. Right? Hallelujah. Verse 2 says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. For no one understands him, however in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. Speaking in tongues is mysterious. And people don't understand it. But speaking in the Spirit is an incredible weapon to everyone who has it. But many have been filled with the Spirit, and the last time that they spoke in tongues is when they got filled with the Spirit. Oops. And the problem is even if the last time we spoke in tongues was last Sunday, then we're not taking full benefit of what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives. Because when we pray in the Spirit, we're praying, and we're going to go into that later, but not with our understanding. We can't figure it out. But God is praying. The Spirit of God is praying through us. And how many know that when he prays correctly? He prays for the right thing. Glory to God. And we'll speak more of that. Watch this. But he who prophesies. Again, I'm not talking about you're a prophet. Get that out of your mind. This is not what it's talking about. But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. You notice that it doesn't say he who prophesies informs people of what they're supposed to do with their lives. It doesn't say, listen, you need to come to me because I'm the pastor and I'm gifted by the Spirit and I've got the ability to prophesy. So you need to come to me so I can tell you where you're supposed to live, what kind of car you're supposed to have, and what. No. No. Why am I saying that? Because there's people who've done that in the form of shepherding or pastoring or, you know. But the reality is that person who does that has just put themselves in the place of the Holy Spirit. But God might use me or you and saying, you know, I heard you're going to move to such and such place. I'm not going to tell you what to do, but there's a check in my spirit about that. You might just want to pray about that a little more and ponder it. And do you see what I'm saying? But it's going to do these three things. It's going to speak edification or exhortation or comfort to men. And we don't need to go outside of that. But we need to be in that. Who needs to be in that? Come on. Every one of us has to have an expectation that God will inspire us supernaturally to be able to edify, exhort, and comfort one another. You might come to church and go, why do I need to go to church? It's nice outside. Why do I need to go to church? I can watch online. You can't, from your couch, edify, exhort, or comfort. We need each other. In Hebrews chapter 10, it says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as is the custom of some. Why is that? It's not just because you need to hear a gifted order of the Word of God, preach the Word of God. That's not the only reason. The main reason is God, I'm not going to get. I'm going to give. Yeah. Come on. Because if we're going to pursue love, love gives. Are you listening to me? Oh, glory to God. But here's what's really cool about this gift, this operating with an expectation that God can use me in these areas, is that I'm ready anytime. Anytime. Whether I'm pumping gas, right? And Zach could come up and tell me about 10 or 20 times, or probably hundreds, where he's pumping gas, and God says, go over and pray for that person on the third pump over. Right? I mean, but that's available to all of us. Right? That's available to all of us, not because Zach has a gas pump anointing. Right?
Well, my car does.
Your car does. Yeah, all of our cars have that anointing. But watch this. But we all have that ability. And God wants us to begin to operate that way.
Yes.
Well, and here's the part, and this is awesome, and how they go together, actually. When we don't know what to say to another person, and God has them on our hearts, we can pray in the Spirit for them. And God will give us, we call it intercession, which is a good word, but some people don't fully understand what that means. That just means God is here, they're there, and I'm between them.
Yeah.
That's what it means. He's there, I'm here, you know, and they're there. So I am used by God to intercede on their behalf, and that's a two-way thing. Right? That's me speaking for them to God. But that's God putting something on my heart for them. That's powerful. But praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. And what does that mean? I believe it means what it says in Acts chapter 2. It says, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. In other words, God puts words in our mouth and we speak them out. But it's under His inspiration. So cool. It's so cool. So let's look at a couple of things. With tongues we speak to God, but with prophecy we speak to men. Go with me first to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. And we're going to be in verse 44. Acts 10, 44. And this is when Peter went to the Gentiles, and it was the first time that he had gone because Jews didn't speak to Gentiles because the Gentiles were unclean. But God, through a vision, dream, all that, he went. And verse 44 says of Acts chapter 10, "And while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all of those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also." How did they know? They knew because they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. They heard them speak with tongues, Gentiles speaking with God, speaking with tongues and magnifying God. Here's one of an awesome arrow in our quiver, if we'll start using it, is that you can magnify God praying in tongues, singing in tongues. And you don't have to feel anything. But you have to believe something. Let me say that again. You don't have to feel anything, but you have to believe something. You have to believe that when I pray in an unknown tongue, my understanding doesn't necessarily go on, but my spirit knows exactly what's going on. And God can speak from my spirit to His spirit. Isn't that awesome? Awesome. Awesome, awesome. Let me show you prophecy in action in the book of Acts. Go to just back a couple of chapters in Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. And this is Philip, you know, Philip, one of the I love this part, and I'm not going to go long into this, but Stephen and Philip are mentioned in the book of Acts, and the first place that they're mentioned is when they were waiting tables. But when they were waiting tables, the qualifications for waiting tables and serving others was they need to be men of good reputation and full of the Spirit of God. In other words, they've demonstrated that they hear God and then they act on what they hear. So there's a reputation of them being able to listen, but also being able to edify. That's so good. I think we all should have that reputation. I said, I think we should all have that reputation. Look at Acts 26. Chapter 8, verse 26. "Now the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, Arise, go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." Now you think, oh, an angel appeared to him. I don't necessarily think that he had to appear to him. Right. Now, I don't know if you're aware of this, but you have angels assigned to you. Let me say that again. You have angels assigned to you. I've never seen my angels, but I can tell you others have. I've had a few people over the years say to me, "You know, you were preaching this morning, and I saw an angel on your left side and an angel on your right side, and they were, you know, about 12 feet tall." And you might think that's goofy, and I've never seen it, so I've never experienced that sensation, but I absolutely believe it's true. Right? I absolutely do. And here's what can happen. I mean, the Spirit of God can speak to us through our spirit and we can prophesy. Or an angel can say, say this into our ear. Right? I'm not talking about audible. I'm talking in the spirit. Right? So good. So good. Awesome. Again, looking at verse 26. It says, now the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise, go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is the desert. So he arose and he went and beheld a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, and he was reading Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake the chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading, and the prophet Isaiah, and said to him, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I understand unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. And the place where in the scripture which was read this, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before its shearer is silent. He opened not his mouth, but in humiliation his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or some other? Now watch this. Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with scripture, he preached Jesus to him. I am proposing to you that it was prophetically, not that Philip was a prophet, he was an evangelist, but that the Spirit of God prophetically said, listen, the angel, go down here, turn right, turn left. And I don't know if any of you have any of those testimonies. I've had a couple where I'm driving and the Lord says, don't go that way, go this way. I've had that over and over again in my life. And so here's Philip, and he's direct, and he's gone. And then he's driving. He doesn't know why he's in the desert. He's just in the desert. Why am I here, God? It was a little bit, you know, cooler at home, but I'm here. And then the Spirit spoke to his spirit, go join that chariot. But God, what if they don't accept me? But God, what if they don't understand? God, what if they make fun of me? No, it says immediately he just went and did what God told him to do. Right? But when he did it, the eunuch was reading, and look at this. I don't think Philip was necessarily a theologian. But God gave him an interpretation verse by verse with the scripture to point this eunuch to Jesus. What am I saying? That prophecy that's used for exhortation, edification, and comfort can come to us by us just living our daily lives and then God putting us in a position where God can speak through us to somebody else. That's for you. That's for me. And you say, but what are the qualifications? Hearing and obeying. Let me say that again. Hearing and obeying. Yeah, but I didn't go to Bible school. Yeah, but you have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. Do you desire spiritual gifts? Right? If you do, then be ready for God to use you. And He will. And He does. Hallelujah. All right, back to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Verse 4 again, it says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, But he who prophesies edifies the church. Edify means to build up. Everybody say build up. To build up. So when you're praying in the Holy Spirit, you're edifying yourself. You're building yourself up. I've used this analogy before, but it's just so germane to this. It means you're charging your spiritual battery. When you're praying in the Spirit, you're charging your spiritual battery. The interesting thing about a battery is you don't need it until you need it. Until you put your battery's out there right now in the car, right? And hopefully the alternator's done its job. And when you go out, you know, it's not doing anything right now. But when you put the key in and turn it, that battery's going to send juice to the starter and to the spark plugs and different things. And your engine is going to fire up, right? Sometimes when we're praying in the Holy Ghost and we're praying for a long, we don't feel anything. We don't sense anything. And it's just there. But somebody somewhere needs you. And when God puts you in a position, you don't have to go, well, just a minute, I need to go charge my battery. I'm going to go pray for 2 hours and then I'll come back to you. No, right there was a need. So inside of you, your spirit is lifted up. It's charged up and you go. And then what you've done on the inside comes out prophetically on the outside and speaks a word into somebody else's life. Shondaratoba. And it's so good. Another area that it works in, and seen this over and over again, and I'm going to share a testimony, but praying in the Spirit, the Bible says, for we do not know how to pray as we ought in Romans chapter 8. But the Spirit Himself will make intercession for us with groanings, or another term is inarticulate speech. And then it goes on to say it's going to pray the perfect will of God. So sometimes when we're praying, and we pray in English, but we run out of things to say, we can switch over to praying in the Spirit. Praying with that prayer language that God gave us that we don't understand. And we just start praying and praying and praying and praying and praying. And sometimes I think we've gone way too short in our praying. And God wants to birth things through us by praying in the Spirit. Here's the testimony I'm going to give, but it's not mine. Lila, come up here. She doesn't know I was going to do this. Hallelujah. I was just going to tell the story, but I want you to tell it. I want you to pray. You were praying in the Spirit for the trip to Guatemala. Yeah.
So as I was praying, I would pray in the Spirit, and God would show me faces of people I was praying for. And then when we went there, and we would minister like in the parks or wherever it was, I would see their faces, and I'd tell them, the Lord showed me your face, and this is your day of salvation. You know, and it was powerful.
Yeah, very powerful. Yeah. See, thank you. You see, praying in the Spirit. She was praying about her trip going there because it was coming up. But she prayed in the Spirit, and then God showed her faces. And why was that a big deal? Because not only it did two things, it witnessed to Lila that she was in the right place at the right time, but it also gave credence to the people that God cared about them, because God showed somebody in America their faces before they ever got on an airplane. See, so watch this. Praying in the Spirit builds us up spiritually. But again, it's not really even intended to be solely for us. Oh, bless God, I'm so filled up. Glory to God, I'm just filled up. Glory. Well, good. But that filling is right to pour out. So God, I'm filled up. Where, you know, it's time to go. It's time to be poured out. It's time to be used. So prophecy and speaking in tongues goes together in that fashion, and it goes together in other ways. Right? It's so good. It's so good. And I'm not going to get through it all today, but we'll get into it even more next week on how it works in the church. Because in Corinthians, in the church at Corinth, they had spiritual things going all the time. But it was out of control. And so Paul's bringing it back into control and in order so that it makes sense and that it's working for the good of people and God's purposes. And that's what's being explained here. Hallelujah. Go to verse 5. Listen to this. Paul says this. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. Again, I can't go into all of this today, but watch this. It's so important. Some people say, you see there, prophecy is more important than speaking in tongues. It's only more important when you don't act on what God gives you when you're speaking in tongues. Right? It's better, again, for the world and for people who don't know the language that you're speaking of to hear you speak in English. But he said, I wish that you would all speak in tongues. All. You know how many that means? All. That means everybody. Well, did that go away sometime, or does this is Paul writing by the Spirit of God to the church at Corinth? Is he writing to this church? I believe he is. Right? So he wishes that all of us would speak in tongues. Why? Because we all need the edification that comes from it. We need it. It's a good thing. It's a great thing. Hallelujah. And in a setting, it's so awesome. I've only got a few minutes, so I'm just going to tell a couple of stories, and then we'll pick up here next week. But this portion of praying in the Spirit, and later we're going to see it, singing in the Spirit, and in conjunction with what we read in Acts chapter 10, it said, and they were magnifying God. Listen, it was so awesome. Watch this, so awesome. When I first got saved, Full Gospel Businessmen's International Fellowship was a big deal. And what that was is during the height of the charismatic movement, when Episcopals and Catholics and Baptists and everybody were getting filled with the Spirit and receiving their prayer language. Well, this was not a church organization. It's what we call a parachurch organization. And it was started for businessmen to get together and talk about Jesus and experience Jesus and testify what Jesus was doing in their life. And that was the impetus of it. And every city like had a chapter, and there was one in Seattle. I'd just been saved, just been filled with the Spirit, only been, you know, saved a few months. I started going to these. Every month, once a month. And it was so funny. They didn't have any instruments, but Don Ostrom would get up every week and he'd lead in worship. And it usually consisted with back in the day of, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. And songs like that of that day. And there was two or three of them. And then that would all settle down. And I'm telling you, there's probably 600 or 700 people in the ballroom in a hotel in downtown Seattle, the Olympic Hotel. And all of a sudden, we just start. Ora debea forodo besidie. Andorie darie darie lo borotie. Andorie rudie. And watch this. There'd be nuns over here singing. There'd be priests over here on this side. There'd be Baptists in the back. There'd be Episcopalians over here. And you never have heard such harmonies in your life. Right? And there weren't any, it didn't seem like, that were singing off key or out of key, because there wasn't really a key involved. It was heavenly songs that went forth. And it would go on for a few minutes, you know, sometimes 5, 10, 15 minutes. And there was an atmosphere, just like you just felt. The anointing just came into the room. Why? Was that in order? Yes. 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 100,000 times, yes. Because of the presence that it brought with us, acknowledging that He was in the room. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what am I saying? He said, above all, I wish you all would speak in tongues. But even more so that you would prophesy. You don't have to speak in tongues to prophesy. What I'm saying is, speaking in tongues puts you in a position, I think, to hear more clearly, to be able to prophesy. Are you with me? God, listen, when you, watch this, when you got saved, you received the Holy Spirit coming to live on the inside of you. Awesome. And it's not a different Holy Spirit that you receive when you get filled with the Spirit. It's the same Holy Spirit. But here's what you receive. You receive weapons to help you get through life with. And that's a prayer language. A prayer language. And if we went back to Acts chapter 2 and read it again, it would talk about, you know, they all went in the street and the people said, man, they're all drunk and it's only 9 in the morning. What's going on here? And Peter got up and he said, listen, they're not drunk like you think they're drunk. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And here's what Peter did. He got filled with the Spirit. This is the same one that denied Jesus 3 times. He got filled with the Spirit, received His prayer language, and then God put Him in front of these people. And for the next few minutes, the actual sermon isn't that long if you just read through it. It doesn't take that long to read it, so it didn't take that long to say it. But yet, what did He do? He prophesied to them, I believe, the very words that He prayed through when God filled them with the Spirit. That's so good. But that's just Peter. That was for him. No, I've got the same Spirit. Same Holy Spirit. You have the same Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. But we have to begin to have a bigger expectation that He wants to use us in that way. Amen? Did y'all get something this morning? Next week, the Lord willing, we're going to speak about how that we can operate that in church, what that looks like, and you know, whose job it is to keep things straight and all of that. But it's so good. But let's pray. Father, again, I thank You for everybody that's watching online now or will in the future. We just thank You for them being with us. And Lord, I thank You. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you've never had an opportunity to make Him, whether you're in the room or at home, and maybe you've been to church, maybe you think you're okay, but if you don't know that you know that you know that you're right with God, that you're on your way to heaven, there's one way to do that, and that's to make Jesus the Lord of your life. It's a simple prayer, but it's a very important prayer. Because the Bible says that if you'll believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, then you'll be saved. Right? So if you're at home and you've never prayed a prayer of commitment to Jesus, you've never recognized your need for a Savior, that your sin would keep you away from the presence of God, but now you do. I would just invite you and everybody in the room to pray with me, and just in the room we'll just repeat it after me. Just say, Father, in Jesus' name, I know that I'm not good enough to be in your presence. My sin is speaking against me. But I repent. I ask for your forgiveness. I can't do it on my own. I need you, Jesus. I believe in my heart, so I'm saying with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, and that God, you raised him from the dead. And I thank you, Lord, that you now live in me, in Jesus' name. And if you've never been filled with the Spirit, I want to just invite you and all those in the room who want to be, just allow me just a minute to speak to you. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 4, they were all filled with the Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. What I want to point out to you, that the Spirit of God gave them words to speak from their belly, but they had to give it voice, they had to give it tongue. They began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. If you've never received your prayer language, but you want it, just pray this with me. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I'm asking you right now to fill me with your Spirit. I receive, by faith, the promise of a prayer language. You wish for me to have it, so I receive it right now. And I would just encourage you to just to start speaking, and it may just be a word or a syllable, but just start speaking out of your spirit the words that he gives you even right now. That's it. Just keep praying it out. Just pray it out right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. That's your spirit communicating with his spirit the words that the Holy Spirit is giving you to pray right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Now, if you prayed that prayer and you received your prayer language, you can pray at any time you desire to do. It's up to your will to start praying in that. So you could do it right now, you could do it tomorrow, you could do it riding in your car, which I suggest you do, and God will help you, encourage you. If I could have the worship team come up. Thank you for joining us. God bless you online. We just are so thrilled that you were with us. If I could have the worship team come up.